is you kids get to stay in church today. It's the first Sunday of the month. And so this would be a great time for me to invite all the young people that are bold enough to come forward to come up and sit up here in the front. Because I like to speak to you young folks. So that bunch right there, that means you can come up if you want, or you can sleep there if you wish as well. Now they say that who is the they who says all these things when you hear the phrase they say? They say that a picture is worth a thousand words. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard a picture is worth a thousand words? That's very important, because if you put up more pictures, the preachers would have less to say. Yeah, a picture's worth a thousand words. Who are the they who say that all the time? Yeah, I don't know either. But I would like to give you a couple of pictures, just four pictures this morning, to illustrate basically the whole sermon. Now, this first picture, what does that look like?
People traveling down a trail.
People are traveling down a trail. Is that what you were going to say? Mm-hmm. That's correct. So would we call that folks are taking a trip? Would that be okay? They're taking a trip?
Yeah.
Or could we say, what would happen if I said those folks are on a journey? Are you okay with that? Those folks are on a journey. So think with me, young folks, you old people, you can just kind of meditate here. What's the difference between a trip and a journey?
A trip is kind of like a vacation, and a journey is kind of like your life. This is an vacation.
A trip is like a vacation, but a journey is what?
A quest.
A quest. Whoa. What do you think? Is that how you would... What's a trip versus a journey? You can't be wrong.
A journey, you go somewhere to the end, and a trip is like a vacation.
A trip is like a vacation, and a journey is where you get to the end. Ooh, I like that. Any other ideas? Any big people want to weigh in on this? Different... Tom Cook, sound man, says... Ah, a trip is when you fall down. Okay. Well, I want to talk to you. Oh, yes, ma'am.
I would say a trip has to do more with the destination, and a journey is more about the process.
Wow, a philosopher speaks. A trip is more about the destination. I went on this trip, but a journey is the process. Wow, that might mess up all my notes. We'll see if I can make sense of this. What I want you kids to focus on is the idea that life is a journey. It may have a destination, which we've talked about for some this morning, but the process, life is a journey. Does that make sense? And I bet at your age, most of you aren't thinking too much about what's over the hill. Are you? How many people, when you saw that slide for the first minute, had any questions at all about what was over the hill? How many of you, honestly, now all you saw in front of you was the trail?
A long trail.
A long trail. But that's what you focused on, was the trail, right?
I want to know where the guy with the motorcycle is.
Yeah. They aren't supposed to be there, by the way, but occasionally they were. So my first point to you is that life is a journey, and like it or not, you're on the journey. Sometimes when young people get really frustrated, and I hope this never happens to you, because it only happens to young people. Nobody in the rest of the room would this ever happen to, but this happened. I didn't ask to be born. You get in a fight with your parents. I didn't ask to be born. It wasn't my fault. And you know what? That's true. You didn't ask and it wasn't your fault. It's all God. It really was all God. Yes, ma'am? Oh, you were just waving? The guy on the left is Peter, and the gal on the right is Kate. And Kate is from Melbourne, and Peter is from Sydney. And these are towns in Australia. And they got walking on this trip, and along the way, they decided that they kind of liked each other. And that they decided to walk together. And as it turns out, Peter was looking for a lady friend, and Kate was looking for a man friend. Since you asked. And it just so happened that Peter and Kate were getting kind of serious along the trip, the journey. And Kate revealed, after several weeks of ministry, she revealed that she was looking for a kind and good man. But what she found was a kind and good God. And she was able to say goodbye to Peter. Not that he wasn't a kind and good man, but that just having him wasn't going to fix all the issues she had in her life. Amazing side story. The point is, you're on a journey, and it doesn't matter whether the journey is something you've chosen or whether you really enjoy it or like it. And I want to give you two sets of three words. And I want you to pick which set of three words. This is kind of a school association thing. I'm going to read out three words, then I'm going to read out three other words. And you tell me which set of three words you would like to live by. Is that okay? You with me, young people? All right. Because this journey, you're on this journey. And so now you get to decide which of these two sets of words are going to be with you on this journey. You ready? The first set of words is curiosity, excitement, and discovery. The second set is fear, refusal, and entrenchment. Do you want to go on the journey excited or fearful?
Excited.
You too? You want to be excited? Do you want to go on the journey curious? Or like this? I drove clear from Kansas to Montana with my son like this in the seat next to me. He would not look at me, and so he put his hand up like this. He was upset with me, and so he didn't want to look at me, and so he did one of these. Like 500 to 1,000 miles, the kid was like this. You can't make me. And I would say things like, oh, look, a mountain, or oh, look, antelope across Wyoming. Have you ever driven across Wyoming? That's the only thing they have in Wyoming worth looking at, are oil wells and antelope, right? Well, and then the Tetons. But anyway, it's how you face this journey, what attitude you've got in you. Am I looking at how far that is? Am I looking at how rocky that is? Am I looking at how hot that is? Am I just worried about my feet and my knees and my back? Or am I wanting to know what's over that hill? And what's so fantastic is you get over the hill and you know what you see? Another hill. It's just terrific. Slide number two. Now, you're on this journey. We're all on this journey. We've decided that we're going to have a positive attitude, right? That we're going to choose excitement, right? We're going with the excitement, right? We're going with the curiosity. We are going with the thrill and the wonder of discovery, yes? And we're on this journey called life. And we come to a fork in the road. Now, to the right, you see a gravel road, path, look very much like the one we were just on, doesn't it? And then to the left, there's another path. You on your life have come to this fork in the road. She went to feed the baby, but you know, she's at a fork in the road. Do I resign the job? Do I keep the job and keep driving to Tiger or wherever? Or do I get a different path? Anybody in the room facing a fork in their road? Yeah, you too. I know it's tough being five. All right. I want you to notice there's a little guide there. There is a hint. There is something that you can pay attention to in that picture that might tell you which fork to take. Can you guys see it? Not you big people. Can you see anything in the picture to help know where to go?
The yellow arrow.
Let me see if that's here. That's right. It's even in my notes. We come to a fork in the road. We have to make a decision. Am I going to go left or right? Or now I know what some of you choose to do. I've watched this. People walking along, come to a fork in the road. They look left. They don't like that. There's a hill over that way. They look right. They don't like that. It's twisty that way. So they sit down. What happens to the journey when you just sit down? You don't go anywhere. Nothing happens. Now, let's look at the next slide. Oh my goodness. What might we see when we come to the fork in this road? Do you see something in the picture? What do you see?
Is that human on the road?
That is a human on the road. Mm-hmm. What do you see on the road? Which way am I supposed to go? Left or right?
Left.
Hmm?
Left.
Left? How many think left?
Right.
What?
Right.
Right. Why should we go right on that slide?
Because
oh my goodness. So back one slide. Go back a slide. Which way is the arrow pointing? Left. Go forward a slide. Oh my goodness, now the arrow is pointing. Okay, if the only way you ever went was left, what would happen? You'd go in a circle, wouldn't you? Same thing if all you ever did was go right. So you're on this journey, and it's amazing to me on this journey, sometimes the arrow guides you left, sometimes the arrow guides you right, but trust me, it's always there. It's absolutely phenomenally wonderful that you always have the yellow arrow. Now, this happens to be a story of a little trip called the Camino. You've heard about this. I just watched a testimony of a guy who had just completed his 9th Camino, and he wants to do number 10. So he's an extremist. And was asked, what's going on? Why would you do this 10 times? And I quote, "When I walk the Camino, I'm in the hands of God." Isn't that cool? That explains why people do things. He wasn't telling everyone else they had to do anything. He was merely sharing what was going on in his life. Last slide. Even if I don't know where I'm going. How many of you absolutely know with certainty where your journey's going to take you? None of us, right? And I don't mean that in super spiritual terms, meaning we all know we're going to go to heaven because we believe in Jesus. But the process, how many of us know what the process is going to be? And you younger folks, you're probably not thinking too much about anything about what you got to do this week in school, maybe. Some of the older people are trying to figure out when can they get vacation or how can we schedule the next visit to the folks or whatever it might be. We have short-term issues in our life. Yes, people? But how many of us know with any certainty at all where that thing goes. What we all have, though, and this is the exciting part, we all have a bunch of yellow arrows to point the way. Would you please open your Bibles to the wonderful book, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. So this guy, Paul, was writing to the young man that he was mentoring called Timothy, and Paul said these words to Timothy. I've been sent out to tell others about the life he has promised through faith in Christ Jesus. What did Paul say to Timothy? Can you remember what I just said? Why did Paul say he was talking to Timothy? I have been... Say it again.
He wanted pancakes.
He's hungry, wanted some pancakes. Timothy, get me some, remember that in your mentoring sessions. We want pancakes. So let's read the scripture again. Don, do you have 2 Timothy there? It's 2 Timothy 1. And I think it's like the second line. What does it say? I have...
It says... To Timothy, my dearly loved child, grace, mercy, and peace from our God, Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I thank God and I serve with a clear conscience as my forefathers did. When I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, remembering your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy, clearly recalling your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois, then in your mother Eunice. I'm convinced in you also.
2 Timothy. He's saying to Timothy that he has a mission. He says he's on a journey, and his mission is to tell other people about Jesus Christ. Have you heard the word missions? Have you ever heard the word missions? Have you heard of going on a missions trip? Right? What is a missions trip? Just connect the dots. Timothy says mission is to tell other people about Jesus Christ. So what would a missions trip be? Light bulb. To tell other people about Jesus Christ. What would happen, young people, if tomorrow in school you started telling one of your schoolmates something about Jesus Christ? How cool would that be? He says in verse 6, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you. How many of you are aware that you have any gift whatsoever? Are we a room full of gifted people by God's Holy Spirit, or are we a bunch of doubters and confused people who don't know anything? Huh? Has not the Holy Spirit been poured out upon all flesh? So if we read in the Bible that Jesus left and he said, I'm not going to leave you alone, I'm going to send my Spirit to be with you, and that I will pour out my Spirit, and then he tells us in other places that he will gift us with spiritual gifts, that he will bless us and give us gifts to equip us to do this mission that he wants us to do, which is to tell others. Yes? So do we or do we not have the gifts?
Yes.
We got them. Let's use them. This is a yellow arrow time, folks. What do I do? I've come to a fork in the road. I've run into somebody who's having a really horrible, no good, rotten, terrible, bad day. You ever run into those people? What do you do when you run into somebody who's not having a good day? Do you use your gift of encouragement, your gift of love, your gift of compassion? Or do you jump on the bandwagon and say, well, you should have heard about my day? You see what I'm talking about? Practical, everyday kind of living here. For young people, middle-aged people, and old people, we are running into people all the time. They drive up to us in quads and tell us they've got stage 4 cancer. Is that not a cry for help? Is that not a cry? Somebody's saying, show me the yellow arrow. I want you to see what happens as we look through the reading all week this week, and I'll go very quickly. In the reading on Sunday, we did 2 Timothy, which is all full of these arrows pointing the way and direction that we can take. When we get to Numbers, here is, if you just go to, we'll only do one little section here, the book of Numbers, chapter 9, verse 1. A year after Israel's departure from Egypt. So Israel had been in Egypt. They'd been set free. The waters parted. They got across there. A year later, the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness. And in the first month of that year, he said, and you're going to read through this, comes about the Passover, the second event, and there's all kinds of instructions from God to Moses to give to the people. You remember that, church? You remember reading all kinds of instructions? Do you remember saying to yourself, why are we getting all these laws? Do you remember reading about that and wondering, what's all about this? Why should we chop this animal up this way? Why do we have to erect the tabernacle that way? How come he tells us the exact dimensions of the boards and the sockets and the pipes and the poles and all that? Remember all that? Yellow arrows. What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to live? God has put yellow arrows all through the book. Here with the people in it, they're complaining they don't have anything to eat. They don't have any meat. You don't have meat? Pazoom, here come quail falling out of the heavens. Don't have enough water. Boom, here comes the water to drink out of a rock. We need no bread. Bang, there's manna every morning. Gather it up. There was, in fact, it's been calculated, they could have gotten from the parting of the waters when they got to the wilderness, they could have gotten to the promised land in about 2 to 3 weeks. 2 to 3 weeks. It took them 40 years. Why did it take them 40 years? They didn't follow the arrows. It's that simple. God is trying to give us instructions. Here's a whole book, Numbers chapter 9. We get to 15. Remember about the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night? Talk about an arrow. Well, what am I supposed to do? Well, the cloud's not moving. I guess we stay right here. Uh-oh, the cloud's moving down the road. What are we supposed to do? We pack up and we follow the cloud. Well, at night we can't see the cloud. You don't need to worry about that. I'll put a column of fire right in front of you. Wow. God didn't leave his people without direction. Showed them all over the place. So, 1 Chronicles, you went there already, I think, with Kay, but look at 1 Chronicles 15. 1 Chronicles 15, verses 12 and 13. I'll show you what happens when you don't follow the arrow. Then David, I'm reading from verse 11 of chapter 15 of 1 Chronicles. Then David summoned the priests, Zadok and Abiathar, and the Levite leaders, Uriel, Uzziah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Aminadab. He said to them, you are the leaders of the Levite families. I mean, this is, look, he's got these guys. He says, you're the leaders. You must purify yourselves and all your fellow Levites so you can bring the Ark of the Lord to Israel, to the place I've prepared it. Because you did not carry the Ark the first time, the anger of the Lord our God burst out against us. We failed to ask God which way to go. Where's the yellow arrow? We didn't even ask God. So, on the one hand, I'm telling you, church, on the one hand, God has got enough yellow arrows to station all around to lead us in the way we ought to go, if we'll but inquire, if we will look. Or we can just do it our way and pick a path and run down it. And when we run out of food and water, and we can say, gee, this didn't work, and we can go back to the intersection and try the next path. True?
Yeah.
Or we can seek the Lord. Psalms 102 to 104. This is just amazing. I'm reading the book. I'm doing this daily read, and I'm seeing yellow arrows after yellow arrows after yellow arrows. I get to Psalm 102, and this guy who writes this thing, it says in my instructions, a prayer of one overwhelmed with trouble, pouring out problems before the Lord. It kind of sounds like me in the midst of a pity party. Sounds like me when I'm beating my chest or shaking my fist at the heavens, or I'm just exasperated because things aren't working out the way I think they ought to work out. And I can sound like this, Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my plea. Have you ever done that? Come on. Sure you have. Don't turn away from me in my time of distress. He says to God, bend down and listen to me. Oh my. For my day, and he goes on and on and on. So he obviously is not having a good day. Psalm 103 and 4, the very next two start like this. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Yeah, folks. You're facing an intersection. Things aren't necessarily going very well. I'm talking practical shoe leather, real time living here. And you got a couple choices to make. You can go this way of complaining, or you can go this way of praising. Both are correct, meaning that both are honest felt emotions. The guy who was calling out complaint before God, they were real complaints from a real person with real problems. The second guy, who happened to be David, he says, let everything I am praise you, God. And then he goes on and he describes all of the yellow arrows that God has put in his life. He forgives all my sins. He redeems me from death. He fills my life with good things. He gives me righteousness. He's revealed character. I'm not even having to be a student of the Bible. I am just reading what happens with God. He doesn't accuse us. He doesn't punish us for our sins. His unfailing love is great. He's removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. Follow the yellow arrows. And then, if you're in Psalms, it's a very short distance to go to Proverbs chapter 20 and 21. And I won't take the time, but you need to, if you got your Bible, go to Proverbs chapter 20. And just allow your eyes to scan the verses of chapter 20. And raise your hand if your eyes happen to stop on any one verse there that seems significant. Proverbs chapter 20. Just kind of scan through the thing and let me know if any of those pop off the page to you. Pat?
24:20-24. The Lord directs our steps. So try to understand everything along the way.
The Lord directs our steps? Oh, yellow arrow. Next one? Yes?
Keeping away from strife.
Where's that?
Three.
Number three. Here's a yellow arrow for your life, Terry. It's hard here. The book of Proverbs is nothing but yellow arrows. The whole, not just chapter 20, but the entire book are little sayings that God is using to guide us on this journey. Wow. We're almost done. Let's go to Hosea. Right before Joel, Hosea chapters 8 through 11. Hosea chapter 8, verse 1, this week's reading. It begins this way. Sound the alarm. The enemy descends like an eagle on the people of the Lord. Sound the alarm. There are Christians in Iraq who are about to be attacked by ISIS. Sound the alarm. Blow the trumpet. Organize the people. call the Kurds in. Do something to deliver us. Yellow arrow. What do you do when everything is going wrong? You sound the alarm. What's that song we used to sing? Blow the trumpet in Zion. Remember that? Verse 12 of chapter 8. Even though I gave them all my laws, what's another word for laws according to the sermon this morning? Even though I gave them all my yellow arrows, they act as if those arrows don't apply to them. Hey, I'm on a journey. I've landed in a foreign country. I don't have anything but what's on my back. I don't speak the language, and I have no clue where I am, except for on a piece of paper, a map dot, that says I'm in a French town in the Pyrenees. That's all I know this morning. And I'm going to go for about 6 weeks west. That's all I know for absolute certain. And along the way, frequently along the way, I'm going to come to fork in the road. And God has put yellow arrows for 500 miles. It's amazing. You get into the cities, and they don't paint yellow arrows on all the nice cities. They do in the small, dilapidated villages. But in the nice, beautiful cities, they put these bronze shells about this big, and they embed them in the sidewalk. And you just follow the shells or the arrows. And finally, this week we read from the Gospel of John. So if you'd like to turn to John chapter 10, we can finish. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. The sheep know the voice of their shepherd. That voice is like a yellow arrow. Walk this way. Go here. Do this. Avoid that. Pray this way. Cease from this. Do you see how it works? All through the scripture, God is giving us a yellow arrow of how to live our lives. Chapter 10 of John, verse 9. Yes, Jesus says, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. Somebody wants to say, how do you get saved? What do you have to do to get saved? What church do you have to do to get saved? Who do you have to give to get saved?
Jesus.
I think there's the answer. Jesus is the answer. Chapter 11 of John, verse 25, a little text here that is becoming a sort of a life verse for me ever since I bumped into this. It's one of those texts in the Bible, I am not sure I like it because it challenges me. I'm standing at the fork of the road and I'm confronting something. Here's how it's said. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Which is where the preacher usually stops. And then I read the very next words of Jesus Christ. Do you see what they are? He says, do you believe this? That really is kind of it, isn't it? We're going to be on a journey. We're going to come to forks in the road. Or we're going to get into a cloud cover or a storm. Something's going to happen to distract us and get us off track. And we're going to say, well, where am I? And how do I get out of this mess? And what do I do next? And we look around for some kind of a sign. In the Camino, it's a yellow arrow. For us, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Word of God. The Word of God is your yellow arrow for getting through life. And you have a choice. It's a really great choice. No one's making you read the thing. Nobody's giving you a test every week to see if you did. You can leave it on the shelf or you can never look at it again. But then you will be saying to God someday, how come you left me? How come you never speak to me? Why are things so crummy? Why do bad things happen to good people? And God will say, well, you ain't good people. Or we can read His Word. Follow that yellow arrow with confidence and never doubt that if we see that little arrow painted on a tree going a direction that doesn't look west, we say we're going to follow the arrow because somebody knows that going in this direction is better than going in that direction. Now, kids, what do you think about the journey? Does it make you excited? Yeah. If I give you a cookie, will it make you excited?
Yeah.
Yes. All right. I'd just like to make that straight. Lord God, I do thank you this morning that you stimulate our senses. You open our eyes, even though we fight so hard to keep them closed sometimes. But you are a God who loves your people, who provides for us all kinds of guide and testimony. Lord, you put abundant arrows in our eyesight so that we can know how to walk. So continue to lift the veil from our eyes. Continue to show us the way to go. We do pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, God bless you, church. I look forward to hearing about your journey. And if you're off the path, just come talk to me and Carol. We'll tell you how to get back on. God bless you. You are dismissed. What?